Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for the gathering of your children. We are here that we may hear from you. We pray that you will impart us so mightily. Let your word come to us with understanding, that we will live here knowing what you demand of us, that we may be a blessing flowing out of our bellies, serving the world and the nations around us. We give you praise and thank you for utterance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, the verse number 3 to 4. Habakkuk, chapter 3, the verse number 3 to 4. And I read, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Also, in the book of Psalm 107, the verse number 20, the Bible says that God sent forth his word, and his word healed and delivered us from our destructions. Hallelujah. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, from the verse number 1 down, when God came back to his creation, he saw that the earth he has created before has become void, formless, darkness, shapeless. And the Bible says in the verse number 3 that God said, out of God's mouth he spoke his word, let there be light, and there was light. Hallelujah. I bring to you what I've entitled the power of God's word, or the power of the word of God. In Habakkuk, we realize that God's power, or God's power, has a location. And from the other scriptures we read, we come to see that in God's word has he ordained his power. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. In God's word is his power revealed. In God's word has God ordained his power. And so there is power in the word of God. There is power in the word of God. There are many a times we have asked, what is the word of God? What is the word of God? And from scripture, many we come to the conclusion that the Bible of which we hold is the word of God. And there's no dispute about that, because the Bible makes us to understand that the Bible which we hold, which is the scriptures, is God's inspired word to us. As a matter of fact, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, the verse number 16, we say that God's, the scriptures which we hold, is the inspired writings of God to his children. Also in John chapter 20, the verse number 31, God's word, which is the scriptures, contains the revelation of God's character, purpose, plan of salvation for mankind. John chapter 5, the verse number 39, reveals that the scripture serves as a testimony to Jesus Christ and his work on earth here. In 2 Peter, the chapter number 1, the verse number 19, also tells us that the scriptures provide guidance and instructions and encouragement for the believers. So This is the scriptures of which we hold and refer to it as the word of God. It is the inspired word of God to his children. It contains revelation of God's character, purpose, plan of salvation for all who will come to him. It also serves as a testimony to Jesus Christ and his work. And then it also provides guidance and instructions and encouragement for those of us who are still on earth here. So the word of God, we can't dispute it, that it is God's word to us. It is the same word of God we find, the Bible tells us, or when you read the word, you will come to know that in the word of God, God spoke. In the same word of God, or in the same scriptures we hold, we had human beings speaking from different points or different backgrounds. There are those that spoke out of the depravity of their hearts. There are those who also spoke out of their regenerated spirit. In the scriptures, we had demons speaking. In the scriptures, we had animals speaking. In the scriptures also, in the same Bible we hold, we had God also speaking from the point or from the standpoint of his majesty. So what is the word of God? In the book of Acts chapter 1, the verse number 1, the writer of Luke, Dr. Luke, in writing the book of Acts, said in the verse number 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I write about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And this speaks to us that in the Bible also, we find people's accounts and encounter of with Jesus and what they perceived or what they were able to get out of him. And based on that, they penned it down for our emulation. Hallelujah. So the scriptures indeed is God's word to us. But it is God's word inspired. It is God's word that contains revelation of his character. It reveals God's character. It reveals God's purpose. And it reveals God's plan for us. That same scripture which we hold in our hands also testifies about Jesus, his work, and provides us with guidance and encouragement on this walk or on this journey of Christianity. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. You know, for us to profit from the word of God, we must come from the standpoint of wanting to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. For us to discover the true word of God, we can find that in the book of John, the chapter number 1, the verse number 1 down to 3. If you permit me to read it. In the book of John 1, verse 1, 2, 3, the Bible says that in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. So in scripture also, we see John revealing the deity and the identity of Jesus to us. And to John, John recognizes Jesus as the true word of God. He is the pre-existent, the internally existent with God the Father. Jesus is also the God incarnate, possessing divine nature and attributes. He is the creator of all things, both the material and the spiritual realm. He is also the source of life and light for humanity. Jesus, as the Word of God, is also the revealer of God and the bridge of salvation. According to John chapter 1, the verse number 14, we see all those attributes of the Word of God. There are many of us that when we come to Scripture, and when I say Scripture, I speak of the Bible of which we hold. We believe that in the Bible, we can find all kinds of things. But there are really few people that comes to the Bible with the pursuit of knowing Christ or knowing God. Hallelujah. There are many that comes to the Bible because probably they want material blessings. There are many that comes to the Bible or the Scriptures, read the Scriptures so that they can have knowledge. There are those that comes to the Scriptures so that they can live a good life. There are those that associate and pursue the Scriptures for many reasons. There are those that do it for anointing. There are those that do it for marital or marriage blessings and all kinds of things. I don't know which or where you stand. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. But whatever your pursuit is, if it does not start with the Word, which is Christ, all your pursuit is in vain. Because Christ gives credence to the Scriptures which we read. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Christ is actually the lifeline of the Scripture of which we hold in our hands. Take Christ out and the Scriptures become useless. As a matter of fact, I said that when we pursue anything in the Scriptures above God, above our knowledge of God and our encounter with God, it becomes idolatry. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. John said that in the beginning was the Word. And from the Scriptures I read, my introduction, the Scriptures I introduced my sermon with, the Bible tells us that in that Word resides the power of God. In Christ is God's power revealed. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. When we do not encounter Christ through the Scriptures, our toil of a changed life is in vain. When we do not encounter Christ through the Scriptures, our pursuit of wealth, our pursuit of growth, our pursuit of well-being becomes in vain. You know, in the Scriptures, we find all kinds of principles for our daily lives. The principles of the Bible will stand the test of time. What I mean is that it will work. No matter who you are, if you're an unbeliever and put the principles of the Bible to practice, you will reap. Hallelujah. The principle of seed time and harvest time. It works for both the unbeliever and the believer. Hallelujah. The principle of faith. It works for the unbeliever as well as the believer. In the Bible says that a time came that many came to Jesus. And the Bible says that they said, in your name we cast out demons. In your name we heal the sick. In your name we did this. But Jesus looked at them and said, I do not know you. Get out of me, you workers of iniquity. Why were they able to do the great things they did? Because they put into practice the principles of faith and it worked for them. So, our ability of living well, getting what we want, using the Scriptures to get what we want, does not equate to our relationship with God. Hallelujah. You can be in the church prospering. It does not necessarily mean you have had an encounter with God.
Your life could be going well. It does not necessarily mean you know Christ. In our world today, many things are going on. And so sometimes when you hear even certain testimonies in church, you can't really tell who is behind those testimonies. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. But what I am saying is that we can get all these things from the scriptures, but we still can come to a place of not having true encounter with Jesus. The Bible says that in Jesus, there is life eternal. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. May our pursuit of the knowledge of scripture, may it begin with Christ. Hallelujah. May it begin with the pursuit that we want to know God and not for any other thing. This is very, very important. And if we are able to hold on to it, I am sure our lives will be blessed. There are many who come to Jesus, either through the church or come through the scriptures in the studying or in their desire and pursuit of wanting to know scripture, but may have other motives behind the reason they come to the altar or they come to Christ. In John chapter 6, the verse number 26 down to 27, the Bible says there were a group of people that enjoyed Jesus' ministry so much to the extent that the following day they came back looking for Jesus. And the Bible says after searching everywhere, not finding him, they cross over to where they were told that Jesus and his disciples has gone. And the Bible says when they found him, they said, "Rabbi, we have been looking for you all over the place. Where have you been?" But Jesus looked at them, knowing their heart, said to them, "You are not looking for me because you know, or because you want to know me, or because of the miracles I did, but you are looking for me because you were fed. You had something to eat. It is the reason today also you have risen up looking for me." The question is, why are you studying the scriptures? Why are you engaging the scriptures? Is it for head knowledge? Is it for a better life? Is it for blessing? You know, today in our Christian walk, we know God to be the source of all blessings, but we refuse him to be our Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In our church, when you look at our way of doing things and the way we even respond, not only by coming to Sunday school or by engaging in the various forms or platforms of studying the Word of God, but when it comes to we putting our lives at the disposal of God to use, it becomes a challenge. We read the Word of God all right, yet we are very unforgiving. We read the Word of God all right, yet we are people who are full of bitterness. We read the Word of God all right, yet we are people who do not want to put our hand or do not want to join in what God is doing and all of that. Sometimes people may have excuses that, look, it's because I'm offended. It's because of A, it's because of B, it's because of C. But they that have really had an encounter with God, it doesn't matter what the situation of their lives is, they will prioritize their relationship with God than any other thing. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If it is Christ we desire and want to know, if it is Christ we have encountered, when he says, "Forgive your neighbor," you don't need any other evidence to forgive. You will forgive willingly. Oh, you're not agreeing with me. I am sure you are. Hallelujah. So may we not come looking for Jesus, Or may we not come to the scripture because we want to satisfy our own personal desires. But may the search and the hunger to know God and to encounter Christ be ahead of all pursuits in Jesus' name. Oh, I said in Jesus' name. In Matthew chapter 6, the verse number 33, the Bible says that seek him first and his kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. For scripture to be relevant to us, for scripture to reveal the power therein in our lives, we must make God first. Christ must be ahead of all pursuits. For whichever reason you come to church, for whichever reason you fellowship, for whichever reason you read the Bible, for whichever reason you come into the midst of the believers, let Christ be ahead of those reasons in the name of Jesus. Come to church because you desire to know more about God. Read the Bible not because someone will ask you and you will be able to tell the person what you did or what you studied as your devotional or as your quiet time or whatever it is, but study the Bible because you want to know more about Christ and about God. For the Bible says that in the beginning, he is the Word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It is very, very important that for us to profit from scriptures, it must begin with God, and God must be our priority. In the scriptures, there are people who have engaged the scriptures and did not profit them until they had real encounter with the Word of God. One such person is Apostle Paul. When you read the book of Philippians chapter 3, Paul tells us how he came into contact with Christ. He gives us a bit of his background, how he was raised in the Torah, how he was schooled in the scriptures, and the Bible tells us that his knowledge of the scriptures made him to pursue the church and to destroy the church. Our knowledge of scripture without Christ, devoid of Christ, only blinds us. Hallelujah. To Paul, he thought he was doing the right thing. To Paul, he thought he was pleasing God, but he was rather destroying the work of God. He knew the scriptures all right, but he has not had encounter with the personified or the scripture personified, and so was going ahead, kicking against the will of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, when Saul had an encounter with Christ, his life was turned around. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. For our lives to turn around, for those of us who go into the scripture because we want to live a better life, it will only be possible after we have encountered the God of scripture. And that is Christ. For whatever we are pursuing to come to pass, it is after we have come to the knowledge and the relationship with Jesus and God. Hallelujah. There is also another man, because of time, in the Bible, in the book of Mark, the chapter number 10, the verse number 1 down to 17, called the rich young ruler. Hallelujah. The Bible says this man came to Jesus at one time and said to Jesus, "How can I have eternal life?" Jesus asked him, "Have you paid attention to the laws?" He said, "Yes, from my childhood, I have observed and obeyed all the laws." Jesus said, "Well done. What you are left with one thing to do, go back and sell all that you have and come and follow me." The Bible says that the man turned sad, went back and never returned back again. He knew the scriptures. Probably, as he said, from his infancy, from his childhood, he's been engaging the scriptures. But the transformation he was looking for never came. Hallelujah. He had a chance of seeing Christ face to face, the life giver, the life of the scripture he studies, but he missed that opportunity. He missed that encounter. When we study the scriptures, as I said, the scriptures reveals God and Christ to us. In our bid, in our pursuit of knowledge of scripture, may Christ be revealed to us in the name of Jesus. May we know Christ and embrace him in the name of Jesus. It is only then that the miracles will begin to happen in our lives. In the scriptures, in the book, in the scriptures, the Bible says that there was a time that some people came to Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus said to them, "You search the scriptures because you know that in it will you have life." But he said to them, "I have come that you can have life, but yes, you avoid me." And that seemed to be the life of the church today. Now the Bible says that we have a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. We do all the right things. We come to church. We are part of all the systems. But when we are being invited by Christ, the lifeline of the church, or the lifeline of scriptures, and the one that brings scriptures to being, we most of the time run away because we love our old nature. We love our sins. We love our old life. We are unwilling to let go. But I pray that our encounter with Jesus will reveal God's power in him in our lives. That our lives will be turned around to the glory and to the honor of the Father in the name of Jesus. Oh, I said in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that in that word, God has bestowed power. God has bestowed authority. In the book we read, in the scriptures we read from 1 John chapter 1 down there, can you please take me to the verse number 4. The Bible's John chapter 1, the verse number 4, please. The Bible says that in him was life, and that life was the light of all men. The verse number 5. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Hallelujah. If we want the darkness to be out of our life, you know, sometimes when we are going to sleep, we put the scriptures or we put the Bible under our bed in view that when the devil comes, the Bible itself will get up and push or get rid of the devil. Hallelujah. The devil knows the scripture very well. With Jesus' encounter on the mountain during his fasting, you will come to the understanding that the devil knows the word of God very well. Hallelujah. But the power is in Christ. Is in our relationship with Jesus. Is in our relationship with God. When Christ comes into our life, when we fellowship with Christ, when we become submissive to the authority and the lordship of Christ, the power of him is revealed through us. Hallelujah. Is revealed through us. And if we can do that, we will see lives change. We will see miracles. We will see the power of God revealed in our lives. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. In the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1, the verse number 15, if you can come with me there, as I bring this message to a close. The Bible says that the Son is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. He's talking about the same word that was introduced to us from John chapter 1. He is the very image of God. You know, when Thomas asked Jesus to show him the way to God, Jesus said, "How come you've been with me all this while and still do not know the Father? Anyone who has seen me have seen the Father." Jesus is the Father to us. Jesus is the Word of God, which carries God's power, which carries God's might, which draws us and enables us to live a life that is worthy, a life that honors God, a life that shines, that those who are around us can see the power of God. God's word, or the power of God, resides in the word of God. When you look at John chapter 4, our slogan or our prophetic word, the Bible says that the woman meeting Jesus demonstrated that he has knowledge of the scriptures. Based on her interaction with Jesus and the questions she was asking Jesus, you realize that she knew about the scriptures. But from the accounts we read, we realize that upon all her knowledge of the scriptures, still could not help her. Hallelujah. Until the day she encountered the Christ, the Word personified. The Bible says that after her encounter with Jesus, she went back with a changed life. She became an evangelist. She began to preach about the gospel, began to preach about Jesus. It is only our encounter with Jesus, the Word, that can change our lives. It is only our encounter with the Word Jesus that can bring the transformation we are looking for. The reading and the engagement and the encounter of the scriptures is to reveal, or is to bring us to a place where that Christ is revealed to us. Aside that, every other pursuit comes to an end or does not glorify God. This afternoon, I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you are hearing, but maybe God is speaking to you. You've been like this with God and with your relationship. All other things matters, but your relationship with God. Your business is paramount to you. Money making is paramount to you. Your marriage is paramount to you. All other things are paramount to you. Even in your prayer list, all you pray for is that it shall be well with you. All you pray for is that God will bless you. All you pray for is that God will elevate you, anoint you, and keep you in good health. But it is never that you will know Jesus. It is never that you may encounter Christ, that Christ will be revealed to us. This morning or this afternoon, I speak to you that if you want to encounter God's power, it can only be found in His Word. The Samaritan woman encountered, and her life was never the same again. Apostle Paul encountered Christ, and his life was never the same again. We can also encounter Christ, and our lives will be changed to the glory and honor of God. I want you to bow down your heads with me. And I want you to talk to God on what you have heard. Where is your stand? Do you know Jesus? Do you know God? What is your pursuit? Or what are your pursuits when you engage Scripture? When you come to church? Is it to know Him more? Is it to encounter Him? Or is it just to acquire head knowledge? Is it just for the blessings of it? Or what it is? I want you to talk to God and tell the Lord that anytime you engage Scripture, may Christ be revealed. May the Word of God, the Word of God incarnate, may He be revealed to you. May the Creator of all things, may He be revealed to you. Can you talk to God? He is the source of all life and light. Nowhere. He is the one that gives life to the Scriptures you hold dear to your heart. Tell Him that any time you pick up the Word of God, may He and He alone be revealed to you. When you have an encounter with Him, all other things will follow. You want to talk to Christ? You want to talk to God? And tell God to visit you mightily. It is that which brings a change of life. Father, we are grateful to you. Thank you this morning, afternoon, for visiting us with your word. Indeed, we desire to know you more. We desire to encounter Christ, the word of God. We want to pray that, O Lord, from our lives and our pursuit of knowing Scripture, may Scripture direct us to the source of life. In the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that any other thing in our lives that we have elevated above our knowledge of God, Father, today we dismantle it all in the name of Jesus. And our knowledge of God will bring us into submission to your will. Oh Lord, we pray, let this be done to us. May we see Christ and may we encounter Christ whenever we engage the Word of God. May we encounter your power even through the word of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.